J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
And now, a holiday message from the Kardashians.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kim, and in the spirit of a holiday, I'm dressed as sexy Santa.
I'm Courtney, and I'm also dressed as sexy Santa.
And I'm Chloe, and I'm dressed as Santa. After such a busy year, we wanted to take some time off from doing whatever it is we do, to wish everyone happy holidays.
So to all our friends, Merry Christmas.
To all our agents and managers, Happy Hanukkah.
And to all our boyfriends, have a great Kwanzaa.
This year, literally count your blessings. I'm thankful for our new line of perfumes.
I'm thankful for our workout DVDs.
And I'm thankful that 4 years ago, my sister made a sex tape with Brandy's brother, and now our whole family is famous. So cool.
I had fun.
In conclusion, literally, Merry Christmas from me.
And me.
And us. Me and my bud. Ho, ho, hi.
This has been a holiday message from the Kardashians.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, December 16th, 2022. Only 61 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. I hardly know where to begin. This is again today. I've got enough for about 16 podcasts here. I don't even know where I'm going to start. Let's start with weather, because that's going to get your attention very, very soon here. Let's start, though, with tomorrow night. I've been talking about this all week. And I didn't check the updated forecast. Let me check real quick here. All right, Buffalo, New York. And obviously, there's a big game on national TV tomorrow night at 7:15 St. Louis time. So they're going to get 1 to 3 inches of snow today. And then tomorrow, more snow, 1 to 3 inches. And then snow showers during the game. So the timing isn't great. I just love it when it just like pours snow. You think of pouring in terms of rain showers, thunderstorms, but it can pour snow. And when you have those football games, you can't see the yard markers or the hash marks. I just love it. We may have a little bit of that tomorrow night. John Fuller on Fox 2 this morning, the only guy who, so far, out of all the meteorologists, will actually play around with the idea of what's going to happen a couple of days before Christmas. We're talking about next Thursday, and the meteorologists have been talking about this for quite a while now, a couple of days. So you know there's something going on, and when they start with that, this is going to be one to watch. Translated, I think, when they say that, it means we already know what's going to happen, but we don't really want to say it yet. But next Thursday, John Fuller put 4.5 inches up on the screen this morning. There's going to be something passing through the air. First of all, it's going to be plenty cold. Plenty cold. We got a couple of days late next week where they're talking about, you know, high 22, low 1 above. Because no issue at all whether or not the air temperature is going to be cold enough to produce snow. The whole idea is, you know, it's nearly impossible to predict, especially snowfall totals and things like that. But in terms of what the available information is right now, 4.5 inches of snow, according to the computer models, that would give you your white Christmas that you're always asking about. And again, while it would be beautiful, you know, because I think any city looks better with a bed of snow on it this time of year, and then the Christmas lights and the colors and everything like stand out even more, and it starts to look like the final scene in Home Alone. And they never explain in that movie how in the middle of a blizzard on Christmas Day, the mom didn't get stuck in the snow with John Candy and the Kenosha Kickers, and how an international flight coming in from France was able to land at O'Hare in the middle of a blizzard. It's what they call the suspension of disbelief. The suspension of disbelief when you're watching a movie, but I digress. The point here is, and don't kid yourself, there's a point. It's the travel issue. It's the travel. I feel sorry for people who are listening right now who have to go somewhere, got to fly somewhere, or if you've got relatives, you know, kids, stuff like that, coming in from out of town. All I can say is, watch this space. My daughter's middle school put on their holiday jazz band show, but before the jazz band, which is pretty good, by the way, you say to yourself, these kids are how old? I mean, some of them can really play, you know, but anyhow, before that, they put the kids up there. The kids performed three songs, and the girl who was on cymbals was about a 16th of a beat behind on everything. So if you could imagine like a John Philip Sousa song, da 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 da, bang, da 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 da, but instead it was like, da 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 da, bang. It was borderline comical. She was just about, you know, just a hair behind the rest of the band. Oh man. But I'm not one to talk. When I was in eighth grade, you know the story, a couple of days before we were supposed to do our recital in front of like 500 people in this auditorium they rented out. You know, this is like 1967, and we're up there, and we're going to play Washington Square. And the kid on the accordion, yeah, they stuck us with an accordion. We were going to be so cool. We even had Beach Boys shirts with the vertical stripes. Oh, man, we looked great up there. I had my Rickenbacker guitar. We're getting ready to rock. And a couple of days before, they're like, we got to stick this kid in here with the accordion. We got no place else to put him. We're like, wait a minute. You just ruined everything. Well, what we little did we know. So we start playing in front of all these people, and the kid freezes up and starts playing at about 1/4 speed. So we're supposed to be ding 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 ding. Instead, he's like a funeral dirt. And it was just a complete train wreck. They stopped us. The MC came out and stopped us and said, oh, I think we got off to a bad start there. Let's try. Give me a hand. Let's start over again. We're just mortified standing up there. And so they started us again. The kid did it again. We had like an 18-minute version of a 2-minute song. And I put that guitar down and I never picked it up again. My skin is just crawling, even telling the story again. That's how traumatizing it was. I know I probably sound like a giant pussy to a lot of people, but I'm telling you, you're like 12, 13 years old and something like this happens. And I actually started feeling nauseous a little bit. Oh, Laura Hediger had her baby.
Pounds. Laura, her husband, Mark, Leo, they're
now
back home.
Laura, her baby, gave birth to a 6-pound, 7-ounce chin. Good morning, everybody. Well, I hope this story is about over, at least for right now, and that's the Dan McLaughlin thing. And, you know, this is the only way this story could have possibly ended. I like Dan. He's a friend. As I said, we don't talk all the time, but when I do see him, we always have a pleasant conversation. And, you know, aside from the fact that he has driven me crazy for the last 22 years, mispronouncing the name Rick Ankiel, because he says Ankiel, and that's incorrect, and he just won't change it. And he is among a bunch of people on the Cardinal Broadcasts and KMOX that all of a sudden started mispronouncing Purina. They're all saying Purina. And it's not Purina, it's Purina, like pure. But almost all of them are mispronouncing it. And they just started doing this a couple of years ago. Drives me batshit crazy. But people are starting to jump on me about talking about what I think is a systemic issue regarding alcohol and the St. Louis Cardinals organization. And you can talk about this thing with Dan. You can talk about Tony La Russa, David Freese, obviously Josh Hancock. People are getting mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just stating the obvious, okay? And there's a couple of people that I know in very high-level positions, and I mean very high-level positions, with the St. Louis Cardinals, who booze it up a lot. I don't know where they keep the liquor cabinet at Busch Stadium, but a couple of the guys in executive positions certainly know where it is. I have a tendency to leave the baseball games a little bit early to beat the traffic, and thus I will, on the way out of the place, going through the press facilities. We have our own elevator up there, and it takes you down to a little office where the press enters and exits all the time. And that frequently is a place where you will run into Cardinal executives. And there's a couple that, I swear to God, I don't know how they do it. 61 nights a year, and they got a schmooze. I mean, it's part of the job. You know, you get these fat cats, these millionaires with these luxury boxes, and they show up, and the Cardinal organization's got to send people in there to glad hand them, you know, shake hands and have a couple of drinks and the whole thing. You start doing that every night, and it's I consider it an occupational hazard, and a couple of guys I know have fallen into that hazard. And then the fans, I have often said this, that if the Highway Patrol, the Missouri State Highway Police, just set up outside Busch Stadium after any night game, probably 20 to 30% of the drivers would be legally drunk. You think I'm kidding? You ever stand on Highway 40? Well, you shouldn't do that, but if you've ever been on Highway 40 is what I meant to say, when the ballpark is emptying out, you can't tell me that the driving that you see is all attributable to the idea that people want to get home as fast as possible. People are rip-roaring drunk, and if the Highway Patrol wanted to make a case out of it, yeah, I think they'd catch a lot of people, 20 to 30% easily. After all, the ballpark is called Busch Stadium. That's a beer. But anyhow, now the question seems to turn to the idea of who the play-by-play announcer for television is going to end up being in 2023. And it really digressed into the situation on social media last night where people were just screaming out names of people they like or that they don't like. And it was sort of comical and depressing at the same time. When you see how little people understand about how things work, you can't just say, well, I like this guy, let's bring him in. Well, the guy's already got a job, and he's under contract, and he might even want to come to St. Louis. It's not like the NFL draft, where they pick your name, and then you have to go to that team. What the hell's going on? Bob Carpenter, bring in Bob Carpenter! Well, who says Bob Carpenter wants to come back? Plus, it was my understanding that Bob burned a couple of bridges when he didn't get the job about, what was it, 20 years ago. I don't know if that's true. I've heard that story a couple of different times. But Bob's also going to turn 70 years old here in a couple of months. And that's just not how the business works. You don't get hired at 70 years old. It just doesn't happen. If you've got a job, you're lucky if they let you still come to work every day when you're 70. It's not the time that you are going to go and say, I'm going to start a brand new chapter in my broadcast career. It doesn't happen that way. Like I said, people were just yelling out names. Joe Buck! Bring Joe Buck in! Well, Joe Buck's got a job. You know, he just doesn't show up the afternoon of the football game on Monday Night Football. Those guys get in there like on Saturday and they start producing the shows. You know, there's production meetings and planning about how they're going to cover the game, where they're going to do this, what they're going to accentuate, what graphics they need. I mean, all that stuff has to be done, and they do that all weekend. So that's, again, not how things work. And also, it should be pointed out that at this stage of his life and his career, I don't think Joe Buck would be in for that nightly grind and all that travel. That's just not what he wants to do right now. That's not what anybody would want to do right now. When you got a family and kids, and he's got twins, so and his grown daughters, and it's not what he's going to do. A lot of people yelling out Brian Anderson, the play-by-play guy for the Milwaukee Brewers. Well, the only problem with that is Brian Anderson is already cut back to only 50 games for the Brewers because he's got so many other jobs. He's got like 10 jobs. I was looking it up last night, and he does all this stuff for all these different networks and local and regional networks and basketball and football, all this sort of stuff. And he told the Brewers, I'll still do this, but I got to cut back. So you can't think it's plausible to say, yeah, let's bring a guy in who's already cut back his workload for the baseball team. That makes no sense either. But again, people don't know what they're talking about. They bring up the name Bob Costas. Bob Costas is, what, 71 now, I believe. And again, at that age, this is not what you want to do with your life or your career. That nightly grind, that is tough stuff. It is tough stuff. Now, I've tossed out a name that I swear, I even sent a message to the president of the Cardinals last night, who I've known for like 35 years. And I said, I hope you're talking to this guy. And the name is Tom Brenneman. Tom Brenneman, who did a lot of Fox NFL games, by the way. He's one of my favorite announcers. And also was the announcer for the Cincinnati Reds. His father, Marty Brenneman, a legacy in the Cincinnati area. And so Tom was doing the games up until a couple of years ago, and he's fooling around with the guys in the truck, you know, and they're jacking each other around. And Tom uses a, shall we say, popular slur attributed to the homosexual community. It's the stuff you hear in locker rooms all the time. And, you know, somehow it ends up on the air. And Brenneman loses his job. Well, fast forward a couple of years to where we are right now, and even the LGBTQ community has said in Ohio, oh, no, we've talked to him. We know this is not who he is. He deserves another chance. He's probably not going to get that chance in Cincinnati, but we got this opening here. He is without question, without any question at all, the most overqualified play-by-play guy who is available right now, and I sure hope the Cardinals are talking to him. And I'm sure if they coordinated, you know, there would be an initial flap. The LGBTQ community would probably communicate with the guys in Ohio, and they would say, all right, yeah, just leave them alone. And the whole thing would subside in a week or two. So that's what I'd like to see them do. And Tom, by the way, is only 59, so, you know, the age issue doesn't play in. So I think it'll either be that or, and by the way, I believe the Cardinals probably already know who the replacement is. And the other two possibilities, as I said, I think would be to grab a complete unknown. Grab somebody who's doing AAA games in Wichita or something, but who everybody in baseball sort of knows, hey, did you hear this play-by-play guy in Wichita? Man, is he good. It's like this Joe Davis came out of nowhere. Joe Davis was doing the games for the Detroit Tigers, and you know, you turn around, he's doing World Series games. And he's only about 30, and he is tremendous. It's like a combination of Joe Buck and Bob Costas, and I'm trying to think of a name of a real seasoned play-by-play broadcaster, because at 30, this kid has the poise. And, you know, every play, he's right on top of it, never makes a mistake. Just conversational excitement where it's required, does not embarrass himself by doing anything stupid. And I'm sitting there watching this going, man, is this guy good. And somewhere right now, there's somebody probably in his 20s, like I said, doing play-by-play in Wichita, waiting for his first big break. And there's probably a couple of guys like that spread around the country. And the word inside Major League Baseball facilities gets around pretty quick. Have you heard this guy? He's really good. And with the Cardinals already having, I'm sure they had to look at this the last time Dan got a DUI, not this most recent one, and probably had to think about it then too. Like I said, I think the Cardinals probably already know who the replacement is. So, like I said, I would really hope for a guy like Tom Brenneman. If they don't go that direction, it's probably going to be somebody you never heard of before. Because if it's not one of those two, then I don't know what's going to happen. And I've already given you the reasons why some of the, shall we say, popular choices where people are just, you know, well, I like this guy. Just have Joe Buck do it. Like I said, it doesn't work that way. I was talking to a friend of mine last night about the Armory situation. And they've made over the Armory, and it looks like Westport Social on steroids. The place is massive. It's huge. And it's got games and bars and entertainment and just, you know, everything. The question is, are people going to go? Are people going to go to the Armory? Are people going to go into the city, especially that part of the city? And is the Armory, by the way, going to hire a couple of security guys to walk the parking lot so that when it opens tonight, it's just not easy pickings for the bad guys who are going around there smashing and grabbing? Security is an issue in the city of St. Louis. And if you want people to come, you got to create an environment where people know they're safe. And I haven't heard any attention to that issue with regard to all this hype about the armory. I mean, I wish them well. I mean, the more stuff like this we have in downtown St. Louis, the better off. Even in Midtown, you know, all these things are important. So there's a couple of websites that are sort of dedicated to life in the 1960s. You know, do you remember? And they bring up all this stuff that happened in the 1960s. And I see these things all the time. And finally, the other day, I just sort of had it. And so I made my comment, which I'll read to you in just a minute. Now, the scenario we're discussing here is the fact that people are, oh, do you remember the 60s? Wasn't life great? It was just so great back then. Life was so uncomplicated. And, you know, what happened to this country in the 1960s and the 1960s? It's like these people who talk about, I ride in the back seat of my parents' station wagon back in the 60s, and we didn't wear seat belts, and we breathed exhaust, and, you know, now we can't have life like that anymore. What's wrong? Yeah, because all of the families who lost children in rear-end collisions with people not being seat-belted in are not here to present, shall we say, the opposing viewpoint. But the other day, it was like, you know, this guy was going on and on and on about how wonderful life was in the 1960s. And I'm like, yeah, you mean like when, if you were a white male, life was good, but you were marginalized if you were a person of color or a woman? Is that what you want to refer to? Oh, and by the way, all those kids grew up to be adults, a bunch of selfish, over-medicated, obese, entitled, illiterate, racist dopes. I mean, think about it. We are the most over-medicated society in the history of the planet. And some of the medication is legal and some of it isn't. You know, you're driving along and you're like, what is wrong with this guy? Why is he driving like that? And then you realize, well, it's, why didn't I think about it for 30 seconds? You can figure out yourself. The guy is high. And of course, over the course of the last 6 years, we've figured out that about, you know, maybe a third of the United States population is really racially retarded. And by that, I mean that, you know, some of these people who have been empowered by some of what's been going on politically and socially in this country feel it's okay to, you know, these feelings of racial discrimination that they've been harboring, but were afraid to say anything publicly. Now, as we know, they ain't holding anything back. And do you know that this morning I got a warning from Facebook about my comment? They warned me. They warned me. They're not going to suspend me this time, but they've warned me that comments like that could result in a suspension. Unbelievable. Back to sports for a minute. That win by the Blues last night was crazy. That was nuts. Twice, basically, the game was over, and they came back and managed to win it. That was, like I said, they're going to be talking about that game for a long, long time. Donald Trump had been indicating for several weeks that on December 15th, which was yesterday, he would be making a major announcement. Well, he's already declared his candidacy for president of the United States. What could it be? And the media just went wild surmising what the outcome of this whole thing could be. And yesterday, sure enough, December 15th, Donald Trump made his major announcement, digital trading cards, with him cast as various superheroes. You can get him dressed up as Superman. You get him dressed up as, I don't know, it's like five or six of these scenarios where he is, well, I mean, it looks like a movie poster for, you know, the latest Iron Man movie. $100 for a digital trading card. Oh, man. My favorite meme is a picture of Santa drinking a glass of milk on Christmas Eve next to a Christmas tree and eating some of the cookies and reading the note that the child left for Santa. And as he's drinking the glass of milk and eating the cookies, the caption of the meme here, as Santa reads the note, reads, "Dear Santa, if there's a new drum kit under the tree, I will give you the antidote to what I put in the milk and cookies." That's dark. Oh, Brett Kavanaugh. We were just talking about beer a little while ago. Brett Kavanaugh went to the guy who runs the CPAC conventions. So this is a Supreme Court justice. Went to the event where Stephen Miller and Representative Matt Gaetz also attended. Whoops. I found a Christmas list from, I don't know, it was like 5 or 6 years ago from my daughter, who ceremoniously every year presents us with her Christmas list. Polaroid camera, bike, skateboard, canvases, Air Forces, wireless headphones, Kit Kats, things from Pier 1, a Led Zeppelin t-shirt, and a shirt that has Maggie Simpson making the L, like loser, I guess, is what she's referring to. Got the date for that Adam Sandler show in St. Louis, Saturday, February 11th. I believe the tickets, tickets go on sale today at noon, livenation.com. A man shot a Kentucky Fried Chicken employee on Monday evening in St. Louis in a dispute that intensified when the restaurant ran out of corn. Well, at least he had a good reason. The guy who attacked Dave Chappelle on stage at the Hollywood Bowl back in May, sentenced to 9 months behind bars. He's also facing an attempted murder charge for allegedly stabbing his roommate. Guy gets around. Elon Musk claims a crazy stalker followed a car that his two-year-old son was in. In response, he suspended the Twitter account of a man who was tracking his flight information despite his supposed love of free speech. A man in Florida assaulted his wife on Monday by throwing a Christmas tree at her. He was upset because something from the sink splashed on him. The man was hit with multiple charges, including domestic battery. A British caterer is apologizing for having a menu with a hot dog called Anne Frankfurter, like as in Anne Frank, the Holocaust victim, Anne Frank. The owner admitted it was in poor taste, but they weren't trying to be controversial. Still trying to figure out how you throw a Christmas tree. There are theories going around that Twitch took his own life because he was in financial trouble, but close sources and law enforcement say that's not true. We found out this morning that he had multiple projects in the works for the coming year, but that he also left a suicide note referring to past struggles, and nobody seems to really know what that means. The Avatar sequel comes out today. Go ahead if you want. This movie cost $350 million to make. Tonight on HBO, the premiere of Sex Diaries, a docuseries inspired by the New York Magazine column of the same name. Austin Butler hosting Saturday Night Live, Lizzo musical guest, and they'll have the poinsettias out on the set. I enjoy the Christmas shows, Saturday Night Live, when they start getting closer and closer to the big day. Sunday Night Football, Washington hosting the New York Giants. Sunday on Paramount, the mid-season finale of Yellowstone, the series premiere of Yellowstone prequel, 1923, starring Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren. They want to start a big range war. Reese Witherspoon, Ashton Kutcher play best friends who swap lives in the upcoming Netflix comedy Your Place or Mine. CNN has canceled Stanley Tucci's Searching for Italy. Trevor Noah will host the Grammys for a third time in February. Birthdays today, Benjamin Bratt, Modern Family, oh gosh, a bunch of other stuff. Anyhow, 59, William the Refrigerator Perry, 60, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, 73, Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes, 81. I met her when she was 44, and I was in Washington, D.C. doing the, I think it was it Superman 2 or Superman 3, and they had this huge event to promote the movie at the Smithsonian. And I was invited to that, and there she was. And we talked for a couple of minutes. I wanted to tell you, that woman was appealing. And that is sort of the all-purpose word that I have a tendency to use for women who just have their shit together on every level. Keep in mind now, she's 44 years old, and while she was a magnificent journalist, you should have seen the legs on her. She's 81 today. Stephen Bochco, the creator of Doogie Howser, L.A. Law, Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blue. We lost him in 2018. Would have been his birthday today. Ray Charles got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on this date back in 1981. That's what they told him. Rain Man was released on this date in 1988. Dumb and Dumber released on this date in 94. Dan Fogelberg checked out. Prostate cancer, 56. He belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for heaven's sakes. Get around to that, will you guys? The very first Food and Cash Salvation Bash took place on this date back in 1987. It was a very, very meager effort, but it was still pretty cool. And it started what turned into a massive operation every year. But I'll tell you, Bob Richards doesn't show up with the accordion after the 10 o'clock news. Shows up about 11 o'clock at night with the accordion on stage. If he doesn't do that, I'm not sure the whole event even gets off the ground. It was on this date in 1985 that a one-hour shouting match took place in the office of the general manager of KSHE Radio between me and the president of the company who had flown in because they wanted to make the radio station more what they call mainstream. Translated, they wanted to ruin it. And they wanted me to be the one to ruin it. Because they said, look, there are radio stations similar to this one that have been doing this around the country, and we think that this is the way to go to really broaden our appeal. I'm like, well, already in first place on the FM dial, what more do you want? You're getting greedy. And they're like, well, we think we can do much better. And so next week, we are going to incorporate songs by Prince and Madonna onto KSHE Radio, and we need your cooperation. We need you to be the one to really sort of carry the flag as we come up over the hill in combat. And I said, fuck yourselves. I'm not doing it. There's no way I'm going on that radio station and playing Prince songs and Madonna. They had already given me Tina Turner. I'd played that once and said, I just don't think it fits. Then one day they brought in Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. And I played that one time and I went into the program director's office and I said, I am not playing this song again. I'm sorry. Fire me if you want, but I'm not doing this. So they had been trying sort of all summer and all fall to incorporate this stuff into the radio show and onto the radio station. And they wanted me to be the guy to do it. I was like, no. And so we were just screaming at each other for an hour. And I remember going home, and it was the night of the Christmas party for the radio station. And I went home. I'm like, I don't even feel like going to a party right now. They're all going to be there, and we're going to get into this again. And nobody's going to believe me either. Nobody is going to believe that that's what this meeting was about. And if you heard shouting for an hour coming out of the general manager's office, nobody's going to believe that this is what we were arguing about. So I went to the Christmas party anyhow, which... And this is how goofy the place was back then. The owner was Jewish. A lot of the people who were the point men, shall we say, for the radio station at that time were Jewish. Wonderful people, all really nice folks. But here it was Christmas time, and they said the Christmas party theme is the 50s. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? The theme of the Christmas party? The theme of the Christmas party is Christmas. Well, we just thought it'd be fun. So I walk into the place, and this girl's wearing poodle skirts and stuff. And I'm like, oh, Christ. And I just had like it was a warm night. I still remember, even though it was mid-December, it was a warm night. And I had a windbreaker on. And when I walked in, they're like, what happened here? Why aren't you doing the 50s thing? And I was like, this is what I dress like when it's in the 50s. No laughs. So I knew I was in trouble, and then I sent out, and then I felt real bad because at the end of the evening, they gave all of the full-time on-air people color televisions. Now I'm feeling guilty. But the long and the short of it is, and there's two very, very important parts of this story still to come here, so don't go away. So for whatever reason, I guess I made my point. I guess I did a pretty good job, and they decided to pull back on the idea of putting Prince and Madonna songs on the air. So they never did it. Now, I end up leaving that radio station a year later, and I was gone for 16 years from that company. The company that owned KSHE at the time also owned K-Hits in 2002 when I went back to work for that company. And they had a little party and how come I can't remember the name of this place right now? It's the bowling alley in Maplewood that's on the second floor. You always wondered, who are the people who lived underneath this thing? It's like, God, even if it was a business, you know, every 20 or 30 seconds, you're downstairs trying to sell donuts and you hear... No, that wouldn't be distracting at all. Anyhow, so I went up to the vice president of the company, because I guess what they had done is when I came back to work there, the guy called Laurie Mack, our producer and co-host, and said, we want to get JC a little welcoming back gift. What does he like? What sort of stuff does he like? And she, of course, answers, porn. Like, we're sort of hoping for something else. And she said, well, he loves fresh fruit. And so they got me one of those Harry and David subscriptions. So for 6 months, every month, I would get like one of these big, giant Easter basket type things full of fresh fruit. And so I wanted to go up to, I went up to him because I wanted to thank him for that. And we had a nice little chat. And I swear to you, within 30 seconds, the guy says to me, now keep in mind, this is one of the guys that I was screaming at 17 years prior to that about them wanting to ruin the radio station by putting Prince and Madonna songs on the air. So I go up to him. I thank him for the fresh fruit. 30 seconds of the conversation, I swear to you, he says, by the way, you were right. I'm like, what? He goes, no, you were right about the whole Prince and Madonna thing, because those radio stations that did that, they ruined their image and they were never able to recover from it. So I have said this in the past and people have gotten all over me because they weren't there and they don't know shit and they don't know what they're talking about. So shut the fuck up. But I saved that radio station on this date back in 1985. How was I rewarded for my efforts? By the second generation of people who run the radio station, they're trying to erase any trace of my ever having been there, as their sick obsession with J.C. Corcoran continues. John Kioski, Tommy Mattern, Marty Link, who broke my heart. The fact that he turned on me is that's the one that hurts. But I saved, they're running around, 55 years, blah, blah. We almost didn't make it out of 1985. Thank you very much. And finally, Buick says they're going to discontinue the Encore in 2023 because the typical Buick customer already rides in an SUV. It's called an ambulance. And with that in mind, that's the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, December 16th, 2022. 61 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. Have yourselves a great weekend. We're going to be here. We're going to be here all next week. All right, that's a lie. I think we're going to be here through Wednesday. However, if it turns out there's going to be a snowstorm on Thursday, which is, like I said, we were talking about this earlier, I might hang around for an extra day because I don't want to miss that. And we'll have to open the Stokes Panic Aisle. Come on, folks. All right, anyhow, please spread the word that we are here with the J.C. Corcoran Podcast every weekday morning here at jcontheline.com. You may email me, JC at jcontheline.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend. In the meantime, go Bills. We've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you there. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.